Leviticus chapter 19 on page 98 in the Pew Bible. Page 98, Leviticus chapter 19, reading verses 35 through 37. This is the word of the Lord. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measures of length or weight or quantity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules and do them. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. You shall be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is a command. This is a promise. It is the purpose for which you were created. It is the purpose for which you have been saved. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Before the world was made, you were chosen by God to be holy and blameless before God. Before the world was made, you were chosen to be holy and blameless before God. You shall be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is a command. This is a promise. And so, this must be your aim. It must be your aim to be holy. To be holy as the Lord your God is holy. You are to strive after that holiness without which no one will see God. Sanctification is a necessary part of your salvation. The process by which you become more and more like God, the process which you become more and more like Christ, by which you are conformed more and more to His image, by which you die to sin and live to righteousness, Sanctification is a necessary part of your salvation. There is no such thing as salvation without sanctification. It is the goal of your salvation, to be holy and blameless before Him. The book of Leviticus, it bears witness to this truth. The goal of your salvation is to be holy before the Lord. Or to put it another way, the goal of your salvation is a holy God dwelling in the midst of a holy people. The service of the tabernacle was patterned after this purpose. It was patterned after this hope. The service of the tabernacle began with the sin offering, an offering to make atonement for the people that their sins might be forgiven. And after the sin offering came the burnt offering, or the whole burnt offering, in which the people were consecrated to the Lord. It is this offering, the whole burnt offering, that Paul has in mind in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when he writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." The burnt offering was an offering of consecration in which the people were consecrated to the Lord, in which the people were made holy to the Lord. If the sin offering corresponds to your justification, or your being made right with God, the burnt offering corresponds to your sanctification, or your being transformed by God into His glorious image. And following the sin offering and the burnt offering came the peace offering. The peace offering in which this people made holy by the Lord enjoy communion with the Lord. Worship in holiness, communion in holiness, fellowship in holiness, life in holiness. This is the goal of your salvation. It is the testimony of all Scripture. It is the testimony of Leviticus. And where the first half of Leviticus concerns how one may approach the Lord, the second half of Leviticus concerns how one may dwell with the Lord. What it means to dwell in holiness with the Lord. Part of being holy to the Lord is being obedient to the Lord. Part of being holy to the Lord is being obedient to the Lord. Being obedient to His statutes, to His rules. One of which is our passage this morning. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measures of length or weight or quantity, You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hen. An ephah was a measurement of dry goods, such as an ephah of flour. A hen was a measurement of liquid goods, such as a hen of oil or of wine. No part of Israel's life was hidden from God. However great, however small, no part of Israel's life was hidden from God. In every situation, they were to show forth the holiness of God. In every circumstance, they were to show forth the image of God. In worship, at home, at work, in the marketplace, in all things, they were to glorify God. In all things, you are to glorify God in worship, at home, at work, in the marketplace, in whatever you do. In all things, you are to glorify God. Nothing that you do is hidden from His sight. There is nothing that you do that does not concern Him. No part of Israel's life was hidden from God. In every situation, they were to show forth the holiness of God. In judgment and in measurement included. So what is a just or righteous balance? What is a just or righteous weight? It is one that treats all, including yourself, the same. One that holds all to the same standard. And when that standard is the Lord's, it is just. It is good. It is right. The people were not to take advantage of one another. They were to do to others as they would have others do to themselves. The parallel passage in Deuteronomy, it helps us to understand what an unjust balance or an unjust weight would have been like. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, a large and a small. A full and just weight you shall have, and a full and just measure you shall have. If someone was buying grain from you, and you were unjust, and you had two weights in your bag, you might pull out the small weight so as to sell them less. And if someone was selling grain to you, you might pull out the large weight so as to get more for less. In both situations, you gain an advantage at the expense of your neighbor. And while this may be clever, it is dishonest. And it is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is His delight. And why? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 11, a just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His work. An unjust weight is an abomination to the Lord because the Lord is just in all His judgments. And so He calls His people to be just in all their judgments. The Lord is just in all His judgments, and so He calls His people to be just in all their judgments. You are to reflect Him, you are to glorify Him in all your judgments. You are to be honest, you are to be fair, you are to be just in all that you do. You are never to take advantage of someone else. And when you do, however insignificant it may seem, it is nothing less than an abomination to the Lord. Has God called you out of darkness and into light in order for you to lie? In order for you to cheat? In order for you to steal? Or to speak the truth? To be honest? To be fair? To be just? To be holy? As He is holy. To reflect His goodness, His justice, and His truth. This is part of your witness. Reflecting the image of God in this world. The one who has measured the world. The one who has weighed the world. You are to reflect Him in your measurements. To be honest in your measurements. Reflecting the one who created those measurements. This is part of your witness, to reflect the image of God in this world. God whose work is perfect, whose ways are justice. The Lord who is righteous, who does no injustice. As those who are saved by Him, you are called to reflect Him. You are called to reflect His image. The world, it doesn't need another cheat. It doesn't need another scoundrel. It doesn't need another one seeking his own good at the expense of everyone else. When you are honest in your work, you bring glory to God. In the smallest detail, when you are honest in your work, you bring glory to God. When you resist the temptation to cheat, you bring glory to God. And perhaps no one sees it, but God sees it. And you're doing it for His glory, not your own. You do it because He delights in it. And we make it our aim to please Him in all things. When you are honest in your dealings, when you are just in your judgments, you bear witness to the kingdom of God, that kingdom for which you are waiting, that kingdom for which you hope. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 10, the kingdom of God in glory. It is seen as one in which the people have just balances and a just ephah. When you are dishonest, when you are unjust, you do not reflect God or His kingdom, but this world. And so when you have been dishonest, when you have been unjust, you must repent and seek the Lord's forgiveness, knowing that you have no right to dwell in His kingdom of righteousness, knowing that you have that right only by His grace. But this also is part of your witness. You bear witness by your righteousness, but you also bear witness by your repentance. We don't preach ourselves or our own righteousness, but Christ and His righteousness. Would you bear witness to your children? Repent when you have wronged them. Show them what it means to live by grace. You bear witness by your righteousness, and you bear witness by your repentance, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ and His righteousness. In Leviticus and throughout the Old Testament, Israel was called to do no wrong in judgment, to be just in all their measures. But it is something that Israel failed to do. It is something for which the people deserved God's judgment. Amos chapter 8, verse 5. The end has come upon my people Israel, who say, When may we make the ephah small and the shekel great and deal deceitfully with false balances? Micah chapter 6, verse 9. The voice of the Lord cries to the city, "Can I forget any longer the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is accursed? Shall I acquit the man with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights?" It is a sin which reached its climax and the judgment upon Jesus. There was no greater wrong done in judgment than in the judgment upon Christ. He who was perfect in all his judgments, he who was just in all his ways, he who was truthful in all his words, he himself was weighed in an unjust balance. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Although he had done no violence, though there was no deceit in his mouth, you shall be just in judgment. It was through the breaking of this commandment that your salvation was accomplished. In order that you might no longer be conformed to this world, but that you might be transformed into the image of Christ. It is in him that you are able to be honest in your work. It is in him that you are able to be just in your judgments. But in him, you are also able to suffer unjust judgments. In him, you are also able to suffer unjustly. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. When you act justly, you bear the image of God. When you suffer unjustly, you bear the image of Christ. In both, you make clear your hope that you are waiting for a kingdom in which righteousness dwells, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. May you become like him. You shall be holy as he is holy. Amen. Let us pray.